Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, salutations, greetings, hello, and other words of welcome to Blog Talk Radio and to Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres. That's what you're listening to. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And before we get started, I think it's very important to remember that we're all threads in a tapestry. What I do affects you, and what you do affects me. You pull on that string that you are in this tapestry of life, that has an effect on the entire tapestry. What is that? That's race mind consciousness. So let's be more conscious this day and every day forward. And if you're going to yank on my string, think about it before you do it, okay? We do have an effect on each other. We can make changes that affect the whole world. We truly can. Think about positive things. Think about humans as your brothers and sisters. Beloved brothers and sisters, think about that. Think about it before you take action that could harm me, and I'll think about it before I take action that could harm you. Now, we can get into thoughts and feelings. Don't want to, but you hear me, and you know what I'm talking about. So let's really think before we speak and think before we act, because it's really important. And if you do it, it starts to become normal and easier every day. You can change the world. You can. So let's join together and think before we act and speak, okay? You said okay. I know you did. Great. Awesome. Thank you. I would like to introduce to you without further ado, you know that stuff ado, my wonderful, intelligent, very articulate. Gosh, the things I learned from this man, ladies and gentlemen, we'd be on the phone from now until Christmas and probably past. But I'm so glad he's in my life as my friend, my mentor, and my co-host, John Morin. How are you today, sir?
I am terrific, Ellen. That's just you. The warm-up is so, to me saying anything that you'll give me every week is so flattering. I can't even believe it. I need to, like, give one back. You're fantastic and wonderful and the smartest, calmest person I know, Ellen Hartwell. I'm really good. Thank you. Here we are. Now, let's flatter each other for the 30 minutes of the show. I'm glad we're doing this week. I will tell you, because I really believe in metaphysics. Interestingly, Ellen, my life, and maybe it's just because I'm thinking about it as the week, you know, as we between shows, but it's like, oh, circumstances in my life are reflecting back on me what shortcomings I may need to humbly ask to be removed. And I've noticed that week in and week out. It's like, oh, interesting. I should take a look at that. That's an inventory question. Like things that have come up on Saturday, some come. I talked to you about my other job and earlier things that go, oh, interesting. Okay, what do I need to look at there? So it's always good. You know what? I'm my favorite subject, and so I could talk about me forever. But I love doing this show, and I'm glad we're doing it.
Yes, I second that. Yes, me too. So, John, today's topic is the seventh step in the 12 steps from AA. And remember, this show is not a treatment program, N-O-T, not a treatment program. The 12 steps are wonderful, and they can really help you go to meetings, get the help you need if you have addictions. They're wonderful. But this show is about metaphysics. So we are applying the 12 steps to our manifestation, our ability, and how these 12 steps can help us be more conscious, be a better manifester, okay? So if you need treatment, go to AA, get the big book, get the help you need. But just making that clear. So the seventh step is that we humbly ask him, her, it, God, Spirit, Universe, the God of your understanding, higher power, to remove our shortcomings. That one had me stumped for a long, long time. When I first did the 12 steps many years ago now, remove. I don't know that my character flaws or my shortcomings can be removed. But okay, you know, I'm going to be humble and say remove them. But I think this time, last time we started at the end, today we're going to start at the beginning humbly. What is it to be humble? Well, there are many definitions, but I'm going to give you mine. To be humble is to put my great big giant very loud ego aside and say, you know what, I know that the God of my understanding is smarter, more loving, more intelligent, more caring, more everything than I am, and far more able to see a solution than I am. So I'm going to get my big, fat, loud ego out of the way and be humble before, to me it's God, before God and say, God, you know, I keep struggling with these same patterns, these same character flaws, these same mistakes, these same shortcomings. And I'll admit it, I tried to fix it myself. Nah, didn't work. So I'm asking you to help me to be aware, conscious of, aware of my shortcomings, my character flaws, and then to remove them. Now, the God, Spirit, Universe may do that for you, and I will pray and touch and agree in spirit that that is exactly what happens for you. Didn't happen that way for me and isn't happening that way for me. How it's happening for me is when I go before the God of my understanding and say, God, he goes, yeah. I go, look at this. I keep doing the same dang thing. It's the same mistake, same character flaw, same shortcoming, and I just did it again. He goes, I noticed that. Okay, so I need help with this, and maybe you can totally remove it, and I believe you could, or I guess I do, but I guess if I really believed it would happen, but I know you'll help me. That I can have a mental equivalent of, that you will help me to deal with these shortcomings. And God says, well, yeah, I could remove it if you believe me, but I don't know that you do fully, but maybe you do, maybe you don't. But the point, Hartwell, is that you've come to me for help. And so take a look at X behavior. I'm going to use a real example. Not too long ago, I had an incredible opportunity to gossip. I mean, but nasty gossip. I'm not talking mild stuff that I assume most of us do. This was not nice gossip. And when I was hearing this tale, I thought, oh, you're going to have to keep this to yourself, what this woman is telling you. You're going to have to keep this to yourself. You must not share this with anyone. And I made myself a promise. And then I went to God and I said, God, I am so tempted to spill this. And that is a character flaw. That is a shortcoming. Will you please help me to keep this loaded piece of gossip to myself? Will you please help me with that? And God goes, sure, I can help you with that. You have to let me help you. You have to be willing to let me help you. But yes, I will. And do you know, John and listeners, I got the help because I've never spilled it, not to one living soul. I kept it to myself even when I was so tempted. Oh, I want to share this juicy bit. And it seems like, well, that's dumb, Ellen. Of course you're not going to gossip. No, generally I don't. But this was juicy, ladies and gentlemen. And no, don't email me and ask me if I'll tell you, because I won't. But I'd be tempted, but I won't. And I got the help I need, because every time I went to talk about it, which I did on numerous occasions, I got this funny little nudge like, you don't want to do that, do you really? No, I don't. Okay, then shut the heck up. Okay, so was that desire to gossip removed? No, but I got help not to act on it. And so it's kind of like removed, not fully removed where I didn't have the impulse, but I was helped to keep my big mouth closed and not spread gossip that doesn't help anybody if I spread it and could possibly hurt people if I did. And so, yeah, I've kept it to myself. And it's not that that's some great big victory, but what it showed me was that if I am humble and say, I'm going to spill this and I know it, even though I know better and I can't stand gossip, I know I'm going to spill this. So can you, God of my understanding, please help me, because I am humble enough to say, I need help with this. And so I've been successful at that with the help of my higher power. And I call that higher power God. You can call it anything you want, doesn't matter. But that energy, that divine intelligence, I got the help I needed, and so far, so good. So when I become aware of a shortcoming, a character flaw, a mistake that I repeat, patterns that I repeat that are absolutely of no service to me or anyone else, I am working toward being conscious of those patterns and then saying, okay, I would love it if even the impulse was removed, and maybe someday it will be, and maybe for you it will be instantaneously. I've heard of that happening. But for me, it's been a process of immediately going to that humility. This is bigger than I can handle. I need help with this, please, God. Okay, I'm right here. Okay, shut my mouth, or don't let me act on that, or let me think before I speak and act, blah, 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 blah. And I get the help that I need because I get out of my own way and allow higher power to assist me in being the person that I want to be in that moment. I can't always be the person I want to be, but with help for me, with God's help, I can be better. I can do better today. I can be aware of my shortcomings and go to God with them as soon as I feel the impulse coming to gossip, to lie, to not do something I should do, or do something that I don't feel like doing, whatever. If I remember to be humble and ask God to remove my shortcomings, even if they're not removed, I'm getting help with them all the time. And I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that there are some things that have been completely removed. I don't even get the impulse anymore. Okay, yay for me, yay for God. And you can do it too. And why is this important from a metaphysical point of view? Because if I'm gossiping, lying, avoiding things I should do, or doing things I shouldn't do, my vibration isn't high. It's low. I'm distracted by that character flaw. I'm distracted by all that, and therefore my energy is lower than when, nope, God, please help me with this. Great, got the help. Okay, move forward. All that energy is released toward what I want to project on that screen, which is better stuff, higher vibration. And as you know, the higher the vibration, the quicker the manifestation. Excuse me. So, as I work on this and I get humble, admit that I cannot possibly do this on my own, and I'm humble with that, and I go, God, I'm going to flub this up. Yeah, you probably are. I'd like some help. Yes, please help me. Okay, then I get to shift just a little bit or a lot into a higher vibration, and that higher vibration feels good. Remember, we don't do these things because we're wonderful, awesome people. We do them because it feels good, or we want something, or we're practicing here, we're testing. Is this real, John? I don't know. I think it is. And the more that I work on this stuff, the more I practice, the more it is real, the more I manifest, and the more I'm willing to exercise my manifestation muscles because I know it works. I've had enough evidence that it works, so I am keeping at it. It's also important to remember that being humble doesn't mean you're a doormat. It means you're saying, I need help with this. That is humility. Can't do this all by myself. Okay, and as we enter that vibration of co-creation, I'm not doing this alone. I am co-creating. Guess what? I feel better. My day is more filled with good stuff. I have more energy. My attitude is better. My outlook is better. And I have a much better day. Yay for me. I do it because it feels good. I do it because it helps me. I do it because then my vibration is higher. I do it because I'm working on manifesting things, and I want to do it with a playful joy. I don't want to be down on myself. Oh, my God. Can you believe how stupid I am? I just did that again. No. No, I'm not stupid. I do have character flaws, and I do need to work on them, but I'm not stupid. So great. I'm not stupid, but I just did it again. I need help with this because now I'm conscious that that's a pattern. So I need help with that, God. God helps me. My vibration goes up. And every time the same pattern shows up, I go, nope. I am working with God because I am humble before the God of my understanding. I am working with God to have my shortcomings, my character flaws, my negative patterns removed. And I am here to tell you that it works. So have fun with it. Don't have this horrible, horrible, oh my God, I'm so terrible. No, have fun with it. Play with it. Be honest with yourself and the God of your understanding. Ask for the help you need and watch how your life changes and how your vibration goes up and how more quickly the things you're working on manifesting come toward you. I double dog dare you to try it. You are listening to Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres. I'm your host, Ellen Hartwell. If you would like to get in touch with my co-host, John Warren, or me, you may do so. Go to our website, ellenhartwell.com. We'd love to hear from you. Next week's show, John, is obviously the ninth step, or no, eight, I'm sorry, eight. The eighth step, which is made a list of all persons. Ugh. We had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. That's a biggie, and we're actually going to do that in 30 minutes. Tune in next week to see how we
like
do it.
I like a list, Lynn.
I know you
it's
do.
It's my favorite step. Not only are the steps a list, but then step eight is actually making a list. So, you know, that was my favorite step the first time I did it. Even though it was people that I was uncomfortable because I needed to make amends. But this is another great
exactly.
step. You know, it's like, oh, sure. As long as it's a list, I'm fine. Grocery list, to-do list, people I have harmed and need to make amends to list, it's all good. Countries
yes.
I want to travel to list, it's all good.
It's all
no,
good, baby.
Silly,
okay, John, you
yeah.
let a rip tater chip. I'm going to go mute.
All right, I'm going.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later, Miss Mute. And this is a good one, Ellen. And I will tell you, I think you hit, like you always do, you hit sort of a lot of, if not most of the important points. It's interesting from a metaphysical standpoint. And again, I will repeat what Ellen said. I mean, the reason why these steps evolved is to help people. By the way, if you do all 12, in my observation, every single addict that, or alcoholic I have ever known, with one or two exceptions, and those are people who have other mental disorders that make it impossible for them to be honest with themselves on any level, and there is such a thing, that is unfortunate. It is a manifestation that I don't quite understand, but there are people like that. But everybody else I have ever known who have done all 12, not the first three and then go to a lot of meetings or the first five and go to a lot of meetings, but have done all 12 and continue to have them roll through their lives. When we will go through all 12, have had transformations that made their addictions and alcoholism moot, not mute, but moot. And because their lives, I mean, in metaphysical terms, what we would say happened to them is they raised their vibration to the point where the idea of, the addiction couldn't enter the room. And that's the metaphysical version of what happens to people who do all 12. Now, along the way, we get through, and this is a seven, and I believe, I mean, I don't know, you know, I think God wrote the Bible, or, you know, I do believe, because I don't believe that God's an old white guy in the sky, but I will say, I do believe that there are things that come to us that are inspired. And I think that the steps are probably, as they are written in the Alcoholics Anonymous book, are probably, they feel like they're inspired to me, meaning they came from, you know, they were co-created via Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob and a thing called the Oxford Group through, they were attached to some greater energy is what it feels like. And I'll tell you why I think that, because this step is very short, but its words and the order of the words, just like the other ones, but particularly this one, just feels like perfectly stated. Humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. That's it. That's the whole thing. And I will tell you why I love the word humbly first, and it's not because we are horrible ashes to dust and blah, 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 all of that stuff, or that you're dirt, but it does have something to do with dirt and soil. The word humbly is beautiful. It's a beautiful word. Humble is a beautiful word. It comes from the root, I believe, and even if it's not true, I still believe this, humus, or like, which is ground, dirt. And I think it's Greek. It might be Latin, but I think it's Greek. And you may say, well, dirt, that's horrible. I'm not dirt. It's like, yeah, but we all are. And that is where everything comes from. All of the good things, all of us come from the soil, no matter what. The reason why we have food, and it doesn't matter what you eat, it starts with the soil. It emerges. When you plant a seed, where do you plant it? In soil. And then the soil is the first thing that nurtures it. So, you know, if you had a burger last night and that was your nutrients, first of all, don't eat that many burgers. But second of all, if you did, thank God for the food and for the cow. But where did the cow get the nutrients? From the grass the cow ate. And where did the grass come from? It came from the soil, and it came from a seed in the soil. And I want to start this by saying, this is so beautiful. The beautiful thing about this step is that it starts with the word humble, which is the root word, comes from the soil, humus, from dirt. It is emergent. All creativity comes from humility. All true creativity that's going to stick and transform comes from humility. I believe that in my bone marrow. Now, can you create from arrogance and ego and vengeance and fear and all those other places? Of course. Do you? Do I? Do people that we watch on the news do it all the time? Yes. And unconsciousness, we also create from unconsciousness. Do we create our realities from all of those places? Do we add it in? Yes. But when we are transforming, which is what the steps are fundamentally about, and if you're listening to this show, you're interested in transforming at least something in your life, if not all of your life, or yourself, or you wouldn't be listening. You wouldn't be interested in metaphysics. You wouldn't be here. There's something that you want to transform, and all transformations that are going to stick start from some level of humility. Some place where it's like, you know what, I could, and Ellen said this, you know what, I can't do this by myself. I realized that. And why it's so interesting with alcoholics is, oh, I can't stop by myself. If you can stop by yourself, you know, who knows where you are in the alcoholic spectrum. But if you can just stop drinking and it doesn't change anything, you probably don't have alcoholism. That's the nature of addiction. Like, oh, I'll just, like, I just need more willpower. It's like, no, you can't just say no to a true addiction. That's the nature of them. You must surrender them and go, oh, I can't do this by myself. I need help. I need the help of the thing that created me, that works through me, that I have the same power of, to the degree that I am conscious of that power. I need that help. So when we say humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings, it's like, you know what? These things caused my life to go off the rails. Resentment, fear, dishonesty, sexual shenanigans, being deceitful, you know, all of those things, thieving, gluttony, you know, make, you know, do whatever it is. These are my shortcomings. And it's like, oh, I'm actually a good person fundamentally. If I could stop this by myself, if I could make this go away by myself, I would. That's what's so beautiful about this. It's like, oh, no, but you can't. Like, for some reason, I'm still relying on this. And I'll tell you one I'm working on right now is boundaries and impatience. Those are two things that I am, two shortcomings. Boundaries are not a shortcoming. Lack of boundaries, being okay, I'll just go away, and that, you know, it'll happen by itself. I don't need to be clear, and so I'm being clear from the moment I start a project, for example, about what my expectations are of myself and other people, and not having those boundaries because I'm kind of a people pleaser. So the character defect is people pleasing, that causes chaos down the line. And I'm asking for them, if I could get rid of that at my age, I'm in my 50s, I would have. But I wasn't really aware of it. And I'm willing to say, okay, you know what, creative power in the universe that created me, that is me, that works through me because I am it, I am of it, I was created because of it. I'm conscious enough of it now to say, oh, I need your help on this. Place of humility. Now, I think most of the time, Our humility often comes from suffering and pain. We get, oh, we go, oh, okay. But I will tell you, metaphysically, the goal is to actually get to that point via love and not via suffering. I mean, how many of us know, why do we want to make more money? Because we've lost our money, or we've done something stupid, or why, you know, we have a health crisis and suddenly we want to get healthy because we've had some suffering or some fear. And that is often the case. It's certainly the case in the 12 steps in an alcoholic's room or an addict's situation. They're suffering. And so that will suffering, if you have any consciousness, will cause some humility usually, if your ego doesn't rear its ugly head too quickly. But the goal of metaphysics is honestly to get there. And you will note, ladies and gentlemen of the listening jury, you will note, and I strongly encourage this as a metaphysician, by the way, look at the people that you admire that manifest, and it can be anybody. I've talked about Tom Brady. I have talked about Serena Williams. I have talked about Oprah was a great manifester. Now, do we want to be Oprah? I don't want to be Oprah. I'm not interested in what she manifested. But find people that you admire and that you go, okay, that person did something in their lives. And we all love these stories. They came from this and now they're there. We love those stories. They're the essential stories of our lives. Find someone that you really admire, that you like, that sings to you. I used to teach at a high school, and this woman was an older woman, great woman. She just loved Reese Witherspoon. Thought Reese was just she was the clearest, smartest woman that ever lived. And Reese Witherspoon actually is a manifester. Find somebody that you admire and see how they do it. And I mean that. You can tell from a distance. And almost always, not always, but almost always, people manifest from a place of humility. And I will tell you, one of the things they did was go, often what they do is go, oh, I can't do that anymore. I have to take something here and remove it. And if I can't remove it by myself, and this is a final point I want to make, an important final point I want to make, I'm going to engage the power of the universe, which you're doing the moment you get humble. Power of the power of the universe that created me, that works through me, that I have the power to utilize to the degree that I am conscious of it, that I will utilize that power. And I will say, you know what? I will reflect on that power, not utilize it, but reflect on it and say, you know what? My impatience is not helping me anymore. At least I'm not aware of it helping me. I don't get it. And my ability, my people-pleasing is in my way now. It's in the way of my growth. I'm going to ask, and it's causing me pain and other people frustration. Help me focus on this. Help me remove this. Does it go away automatically? Not in my personal experience. My character defects have not gone away automatically. But I will say what my prayer is, and it's from the Steps book of Alcoholics Anonymous, on these issues. Because if you're working with something and you're asking for it to be removed and it doesn't go away immediately, first of all, keep going for 30 days. Just do that. Keep practicing asking for it to go for 30 days. There will almost certainly be an adjustment to it. And if it doesn't go away, and this is where I say, is God, unless it is of use to you, because there may come a point where God will use some character defect. The universe will use some character, some shortcoming to a greater ends that you and I might not be aware of. So even have the humility of saying to yourself, I'm not sure why this hasn't gone away yet. I'm going to keep practicing it because I know my impatience is not helping me and it's not helping the people I'm honking at in traffic. And it's not helping. It's adding to somebody's suffering, even if it's only a little bit. So I'm going to practice asking for that to be removed. If it's not totally removed, I'm going to give myself a wide berth, and I'm going to keep perfecting what I'm working on, which is the little diamond called John Warren, and keep going. And we'll get to that next week, which is step 8. But along the way, just say, you know what? That doesn't serve me anymore. That was helpful. I didn't handle that great. What is that? Oh, it's impatience, or I lied because I was afraid, or I gossiped. And ask quietly, humbly, consistently for it to be removed. See what happens. It's a fascinating process. End of rant.
Well, John, you're amazing, and we can't plant anything without some soil. So dig into that
yep.
soil and let your lives rip, tater chips.